Hello, Patriots. Joshua Lehman here with another Constitutional Minute. All right, so today's video is specifically about ad valorem tax. And the reason for that is it goes in the same vein of everything we've been talking about before, because property tax is ad valorem tax. Now, just as a reminder before we get started, everything that we're going to cover has either come directly out of law library law books at UMKC Law Library here in the Kansas City area, where I actually go and do my research, or they come directly out of Bouvier's Law Dictionary, or they come out of Black's or West's, okay? So all of this stuff is top-notch. You can go back, reproduce it, find it yourself. In fact, I recommend that you do, because there's nothing more empowering than seeing and understanding the truth for yourself. So let's get started. Okay, so the first place we're going to start on this video is the term property as relates to a levy and an assessment of a tax. There's a common misunderstanding that the property in and of itself is just being taxed, but the courts have shown us that it's actually the subject matter that's either going on at the property or that the property is involved in that creates the taxable liability. All right, so here the courts say the word property, as used in the Constitution in connection with taxation, says property in connection with the revenue laws is sometimes employed in its comprehensive sense as synonymous with, quote, subjects, and will be so construed when required by context. Property, when employed in connection with an assessment and levy of taxes, has received a judicial interpretation which it will be presumed was in the contemplation of the framers of the organic law. In Lott v. Ross, it was held that every subject of taxation under state laws cannot be considered as embraced by the terms taxable property, and that the distinction between property liable for taxes and other subjects of taxation was clearly drawn. Okay, so what the court's saying here is simply, you can't just blanket statement taxable property, because yes, there is taxable property, but it's really based on the subject matter that is taking place. And again, remember, if you go back to the indirect and direct taxation video that we did, it talks about the different types of taxes based on the way that the situation of the transaction arises, okay? So it's not just property, it is subjects of taxation. And then yes, property can become liable for specific types of taxes based on the subject matter that is taking place on the property or by means of the property. This is a very simple example of tax on subject. So you see right here in Deblois versus Commissioner of Corporations and Taxation, it says tax on income derived from real estate is tax on real estate. So you see, it's not just taxing the real estate itself, it's taxing the income derived from the real estate. And that is a tax on real estate. All right, so now we're going to get into a train of definitions, starting with ad valorem and moving through appraisal, assessment, valuation, and so on, because these are all operative terms that work together, and it's crucial that you have that understanding. All right, first we're going to start with Black's Law 6th edition definition of ad valorem. And you can see it says that it's Latin for according to the value, and then, of course, of a tax, it's proportional to the value of the thing taxed. Now, from there, we're going to look at Westlaw's definition of ad valorem. And it says an article of commerce may be subjected to an ad valorem tax in proportion to its value, which is determined by assessment or appraisal. Okay, so let's just simmer on this definition for a second, right? An ad valorem tax is Latin. It means according to the value of. West went on to expound and say an article of commerce may be subjected to an ad valorem tax, and if it is subjected, it's done in proportion to its value, and that value is determined by an assessment, right, or an appraisal. Well, again, this is exactly what's happening with your property. All right, just to be as clear and precise as possible, next we're going to move into the term value. Value, according to Black's Law, 6th edition, is the significance, desirability, or utility of something. All right, so this term for value is very important. It may seem trivial, it's very simple, but the word that is most operative in this definition is utility, because you'll see in a future video, and if you do the research yourself, that courts, when they are saying how a property should be classified for taxation, it should be classified based on its best and highest economic use or utility. Remember that. Okay, so next is the term assessment. And Westlaw's edition 2 simply says the process by which the financial worth of a property is determined. So admittedly, this definition is meh, right? It doesn't really open up our minds to a greater understanding of how an assessment is done or performed, But this is the kind of thing that you're going to run into when you're doing legal research. You may look up one word and not really get anywhere with furthering your understanding, but as you continue to look up the other operative words within that context, then you'll start getting an idea of what's actually going on. So we're going to move from assessment now and go into appraisal. So appraisal for Westlaw's second edition says evaluation or an approximation of value by impartial, properly qualified persons, the process of determining the value of an asset or liability, which entails expert opinion rather than express commercial transactions. Okay, so this definition actually opens up a lot more information for us than the others, and I'm going to explain why. The first thing it says is a valuation or approximation of value. Now, we know what value is. We know that value has an operative word of utility in defining it, and we also know that the highest and best economic use or utility is how the true value in money is determined for the classification of a property, whether it be a commercial property, residential property, industrial, so on and so forth, right? But the one term that we don't know or we haven't defined yet is valuation. So we'll move into that. All right. Valuation, according to Westlaw, second edition, is the process of determining the value or worth of an asset. Valuation is often used as a synonym for appraisal. Now we are getting more definitive that we have narrowed down appraisal and valuation to being the same thing. And then they are both saying what? That they are determining the value of an asset. Very key word right here, because an appraisal, valuation, ad valorem tax, this is all based on the value of an asset or an article of commerce. So now we can move into asset and figure out what that is. I want to make a really quick sidebar before we move into the word asset. It is very, very important that you never assume that you know what a word means. You should always look it up. Even if it seems so trivial and so easy, if you don't know for sure, look it up. You should just make a best practice of looking up every operative word that you find in the statute, because you may think that it's talking about you the entire time because it's saying person or natural person, right? Then you go and look up the definition, you realize, wow, a natural person is a sole corporation, an individual LLC? And that changes everything. Okay, so asset, according to Westlaw's second edition, is defined as real or personal property, whether tangible or intangible, that has financial value and can be used for the payment of its owner's debt. Assets are shown in the balance sheets of businesses and inventories of probate estates. My friends, this definition is profound. It is a turnkey to understanding what real and personal property actually is in the context of taxation. Remember, in the appraisal and valuation definitions, they're interchangeable. Valuation was actually in the definition of appraisal, and then we went to look up valuation, we also saw that it is synonymous with the word appraisal. So it's the same context here, right? Asset is defined by the words real property or personal property, whether intangible or tangible, with financial value. Now, remember the word value. We looked that up. What does it have as a descriptive or operative word? Utility. So we could say real or personal property, whether tangible or intangible, with financial use. Or we could reword it this way. All real assets or personal assets, whether tangible or intangible, with financial use or used for financial purposes, are liable for taxation. And remember, your assessor is charged with determining the true value in money of your property. And the courts have said that when determining the true value in money, you should look at the best and highest economic use. You see how true value in money and economic use? What are the two words that are crossing over here? Value and use. Value and utility. So that means your property, if it does not meet the definition of having a financial utility or a financial use, then it is not being defined as real or personal property when it comes to taxation. And one more time, we'll look at it, and it says, assets are shown in the balance sheets of businesses and inventories of probate estates. So if your property is not listed on a balance sheet or an inventory of either a business or a probate estate, it's likely it does not have any financial utility for you at all, and therefore not taxable. All right, so now we're moving into the very last slide, and it is an interpretation or a judicial interpretation of the term ad valorem tax. Now, to be completely straightforward and honest, I could have just made the video completely about this one slide and it would have been enough. But I think it's crucial that you have your feet under you, that you can understand all these other words, because again, these are turnkeys. They unlock your mind to really grasp what's going on. So even though we understand everything over here, that real or personal property is an asset with financial utility, making you money, we're going to go ahead and move into this last slide and just put the cherry on top of the cake. Okay, so this is actually saying property that requires ad valorem tax. This is what's actually being judicially interpreted. So what it says, property within constitutional provision requiring ad valorem tax is distinguished from income and means corpus of estate or investment from which income flows. And of course, that's Featherstone versus Norman. You hear that? That's the nail in the coffin to this argument. If your property is not an investment that has financial utility that is bringing you income, then it is not liable for taxation. Remember, you are an American citizen. You have a substantive, unalienable, God-given right secured by the Constitution to own property. And the ad valorem tax is acting more like an excise tax, and it needs evidence of income flowing in from its use or purpose. I'll continue to say it. An educated American citizen is the most powerful individual on the face of this earth. And by our grand creator's design, you can be as free as you want. All right, this is Joshua Lehman reporting again for Patriots with Grit. Be informed, stay engaged, share the truth, and remember, the world is waiting for people like you to stand up. Mr. Citizen,